Recording is on.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. This is the CCNR committee meeting, Monday, August 5th, 2024. It is now 5:32. The meeting is called to order. Would Jim do a roll call, please?
Sure. We have Chair Doug.
Present.
Vice Chair Director Bazin.
Present.
Director Israel.
Present.
Committee Member Candace Hill-Calvert.
Present.
And Committee Member Eastman.
Present.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jim.
And we also, for the record, we also have GM Brian Gardner and CCNR Officer Jim Locke.
Thank you. Well, public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it's called. The principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on any item once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by majority vote. And let the record show we have no one in the audience. The first order of business, item one, approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Okay,
second.
Okay. The motion to approve the agenda as presented, been made and seconded. Any questions, comments? If not, we'll move forward and take a vote. Those in favor of accepting the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Hearing no objection, the approval of the agenda is now passed. The second item on the agenda, approval of the conformed agenda. A conformed agenda from CCNR meeting July 1st, 2024. Do we have a motion to approve the conformed agenda?
I'll move to approve the conformed agenda.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Yep. Second. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the conformed agenda. CCNR meeting July 1st, 2024. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll take a vote to approve the conformed agenda from CCNR meeting July 1st, 2024. Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. No objections to the approval of the conformed agenda from CCNR meeting July 1st, 2024 is now passed. The next item, member of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. However, we have no members of the public today. So we move on to the next item on the agenda, monthly staff reports. Jim?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dutta. All right. Open violations. We had a relatively busy month, and because of my absence the last week of the month, we generated this report a week early. So we are working now at a total of 50 cases. Of that, we have 11 courtesy notices out, 8 initial notices out, 5 final notices out, 4 notices of pre-legal, some are on hold, others are inactive, or are active. And we have one that's been referred to legal. Last month, we had 15 cleared cases, and we brought in 7 new cases. As discussed in our previous last couple meetings, we are, because of the summer months, we do work primarily on complaints just because of the heavy volume, as well as these complaints for stuff like boats and trailers, recreational items. We don't just check it once. We go through and check it 2 or 3 times just in case that resident is staging, which they have a right to do. So we give them that benefit of our doubt, and we do 2 to 3 inspections before we actually act on it to see if that removes itself. Oftentimes, these problems will solve themselves. If we have to talk to somebody, we'll either send a courtesy notice, or if it's safe to do so, we'll even go up to the household. But that does require two officers to go up to the household. We don't do it on our own for safety reasons.
How long have you been using that model?
What's that?
Making sure you go in twos.
Well, it's actually part of code enforcement, the code enforcement handbook for safety of officers and inspectors and stuff like that. There's a lot of common rules. One, protection of the office place. Two, being protection of our inspection lines or our field lines. That's also a number you don't give out to the public because it's for internal use. And then if by chance we are going to go up to a residence, El Dorado County, on top of the guidebook, recommended that we have our badges and that we address the location by two, if they do not know we're coming. And we do have a lot of scheduled visits. We do site assistance when they're working on a project. That one's an easy one, to go ahead to a site and work with them on their project. But when it's violation and we have to come out, or if we're not getting any response and the problem continues to get worse, then sometimes it does require us to approach the household, but we will not do it by ourselves. That's for safety reasons, and that has been that way since I picked up the assistant.
I wasn't aware of that. I mean, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I just was curious.
I mean, you can even look at the Sheriff's Department or Police Department.
Yeah.
They will not go up to a household on their own. They will always have support.
And also, some people are suspicious of anybody approaching their house.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even with a badge.
Yeah.
Even with our car being marked, sometimes it's disregarded. You know, because it's not understood. We have a lot of residents here that have moved from a CCNR or an HOA that may not have been enforced. Here it is.
Yeah.
So it causes a lot of confusion, sometimes, panic.
No, I'm glad you're doing it.
Yeah, so when we do knock on the door, we do it very friendly, very nice. Hi, how are you? How's your day? We try to make sure that they feel comfortable before we address anything. Kind of a standard practice. Occasionally we do get somebody that will approach the inspector in his vehicle. We have that happen a lot. And that's one of those things that does make us a bit nervous, in which case we had that happen on one of our pre-legal cases just recently. So.
Any other questions for Jim, committee members, on 3A? Okay. Continue on, Jim.
Architectural review. So again, shorter month. We had 22 cases reviewed, 22 cases were approved. And these were all over the board. We had 8 roofs, 2 tree removals, 1 fence, 1 new home construction, 1 ADU, 3 swimming pools, 1 room addition, 1 siding replacement, 2 patio covers, 1 storage shed, and 1 window replacement. So, that was really busy. Now, I will tell you, coming back today from my absence, I've already got 25 new projects locked for this cycle. So we are definitely going to have our highest numbers probably in the last 5 years in ARC. And again, they're all over the board. They're new home construction, ADU, patio covers, basketball courts. They're all kinds of different stuff, along with probably about 15 roofs. So I have a feeling that coming into the fall, a lot of people are going to try and catch up on their projects. I think it's going to be a real busy August and September. So be prepared for a big ARC report next month. Any questions regarding item number B, ARC?
Well, I had a question, actually. I missed it on the open violations. Going back, Royal Park. I had a person approach me, and I thought it was Royal Park Court. Isn't there a Royal Park Court where the guy's got about a dozen cars parked there?
Yes.
A dozen? There's like 40-something.
There's quite a few.
Okay, I didn't want to exaggerate. Okay, a dozen seemed a lot to me. Okay.
This is a long-going case.
Yeah.
Okay. And in our last meeting with the county, this was with a past manager. We met with the county council. We met with county code enforcement. We met with the fire department. We all did this in a meeting. It was because we do the MAP meetings,
Yes. Is this recent or a while back?
This was probably about, this was 12 to 14 months ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so okay. it was a meeting to determine how's this going to be managed? Because the CSD had done pretty much everything that they could do. Mm-hmm. They even took this to legal. Per the county and per county council, they advised us to send all complaints up to the county. Specifically regarding this property, because they wanted to build their own case with their own complaints, which is very common. We cannot address a complaint unless we have investigated it ourselves. So even though we're part of the county, we're a different agency, so they need their own complaints to investigate. So they requested that we just send everything up there and advise people to use the website in filing the complaints and any pictures. And I do have that recorded in an email where the county is asking us to send any code-compliant complaints up to the county.
What would be the website? What is it called?
It's Eldorado County, and it's under the code enforcement.
Code enforcement.
And there is a spot there for a complainant to file a complaint.
Yeah, I told him to call Supervisor Turnbull. Yeah, I said, that's your supervisor, and he should tell you what you can do. I'm sure that you turn to the county.
Not a bad recommendation, but I would recommend that they go through
the complaint process.
Yeah, because okay. that's who county council works directly with,
okay.
And that's what county council is requesting.
Okay.
Do they have a plan to?
Yeah, I was going to say.
They have been working on stuff.
Well, that seems like a long time, though.
I cannot say exactly what they're doing up there because it is hearsay,
right?
What I know is hearsay, and I can't guarantee in proof that it's been done.
Could you just follow up with them and get back to us next meeting?
I'll do the best I can on that. Yeah.
If it's been over a year,
yeah.
And nothing's happened, they're not doing anything.
I do know that stuff has happened because we have issued an approval for their group and for items to make cleanup possible. So the county has worked with us to get them their approvals so that that area can be cleaned up.
It seems like just the fire hazard alone is pretty significant.
There's a new code in county that allows them to work a little more diligently, and that code has come about in just the last year and a half. It's a health and safety code issue. So they're working on that.
Well, if you can give us the next update.
I'll do what I can.
Appreciate it. Yeah,
response from them, and of course, sometimes it requires records from us as well.
This
so the what they may require, may take, in order to get you information, may take
the agenda. What's the number?
But I'll do what I can. But we do have other cases on our part to answer your question. We do work those cases regularly because of that issue. Any other questions regarding either side, A or B? I think that was okay because we were still on item number 3, so it was okay to cut back up a little bit, I think. But any questions regarding A or C?
No, you had the next item, then pre-legal request. Right.
Okay, our pre-legal request. Last month, you guys gave us approval for pre-legal on the property directly across the street from this one. Both cases we've been working since 2020, 2021. The one that you said you're updating, I think, was even 2020. Let me check. Yep, they're both 2021. So they're next door neighbors, and basically one problem is just feeding the other problem. Okay, so we've caught up now with this. They've both been issued pre-legal in the past, and now we're revisiting it. So CCNR 21-1002, this is at 3003 Wilkinson Road, is in Deal Trail Estates. We have vehicle storage. This case went to pre-legal on 2/13/23. At the time, the owner asked CCNR staff to meet with him and determine allowance. This is one of those scenarios where violation resulted in them scheduling an appointment. Both of us went down, and we worked with the resident to extend the fence line out so he could get his motorhome, his boat, and trailer all in behind a screened fence line. some, made adjustments, made allowances for him to pull that fence out. Staff worked with the owner to extend the fence so the RV and boat together this season. After several inspections, staff found that the owner is still storing the RV on public streets. Maladon and Wilkinson, staff is seeking that the committee determine if we need to reissue pre-legal notice or file notice, and then going to additional pre-legal before moving to council for legal notice. The case in question, this is the fence line that we extended out. It goes all the way out to the corner of the tree. He took it all the way from the frontage of the house. It was set back at the frontage. And then we worked with him to pull all that out. The gate he just pulled, beautiful gate system. The way he sets up his property is actually very, very nice. So we wanted to be able to give him that allowance to pull that whole thing out. And you can see the RV does fit back there. And in the winter months, you'll see all of this back there. But upon that, when we worked with him, he did make a comment and said, well, when I'm busy with recreation, I'm not going to drop these things back and forth. You'll just have to deal with them on the street. We advised him not to do that. So in all of our last inspections, we're finding the motorhome in different spots, specifically down this street, which is right next door to the one we just served public notice on. And you can see it here and here. And we also have it out as well.
Jim, are those dates right on these pictures?
Yes. Every single one of these are correct. So you have, 22, 23, 24, 7224.
So when did he build his fence and fancy gate?
It was in between these two periods. So
both
in the winter months, everything is put away properly. It had been through the winter months. So this was one of those times it wasn't stored properly, but coming back through inspection throughout the winter, things were pretty good. We basically got, this is the one you approved pre-legal for on before with his boat and his trailer. We've since asked for legal to be sent. I cannot confirm at this time if legal has been sent because I don't have record of it. But I will be following up this week. And then this gentleman's motorhome is on the street across from what we pre-legal. This is his side fence line, his frontage. So that motorhome sits right here. Out of that motion.
So is it in front of his property or a neighbor's property?
Or his side property.
So he parks it along his property line. The problem is like you saw in that previous photo, with the two properties, when they have their trailers out, you can't really get down the street too quick. That's your lane. And we have a whole neighborhood in this loop behind. And this is also generating more violations in that neighborhood. So we have another one down the street with boats as well.
I should ask the fire department to set up. That doesn't give a great fire lane.
I agree with you 100% that it does not provide good fire lane. We've had issues with access through streets before. Cameron Park does have
very narrow streets.
Some of them are really narrow with no shoulder. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things we don't always get a lot of support.
I know that too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things the fire department supports as well, and there's some things that the fire department
has. Kalen's. Kalen's a fire marshal. Kalen has the authority to issue.
I agree. I think in some cases, if it's
he doesn't like doing that. But
if it's not painted red, I think that's what makes us regard it.
Yeah, he has the authority.
Yeah.
He's the only one there that does.
So. And our CC&Rs address this also. And I think that's probably why we don't fully get support on your recommendations, because our CC&Rs keep covering this. So we have authority too. And I would love the support, like you said.
Good talking.
We'll do that. So that's where we're at, and we're asking the committee to determine if we should just go straight back to pre-legal or we scale it back to final and then pre-legal and then legal.
So you already had a pre-legal previously.
Yes.
What's the status on that?
Well, pre-legal generated the work with the homeowner to extend the fence line out.
Okay.
And then everything was good for a little while. But he did tell us he doesn't want to spend the time moving his recreational vehicles around. He'll keep them out. And we recommended not to. So now that the issue is worsened, we're bringing the case back.
Okay. So you're asking the committee to approve the pre-legal?
I'd like to see pre-legal. I mean, the neighbor across the street's already received pre-legal, and now we're requesting legal because we still don't have action from the resident across the street after pre-legal.
Right.
So,
committee,
if we can do this in a timely manner at the same time, I think that helps a lot, as opposed to postponing one down the road.
So, we just go to legal? This person is obviously not going to
come in up here.
I think
they're done what, you know, they got what they wanted and they're ignoring you.
We have not issued any notices since that last pre-legal case. And I'm just going to take a quick peek here. We do not have anybody outside of us in chambers so I can do this.
He's told you that he's not going to comply.
He did. He mentioned it to us.
Well, he's told you he's not going to comply.
That does raise it to another level, in my view.
Yeah.
I agree.
You've documented that he's not going to comply.
Well, when
he's showing he's not going to comply.
You haven't talked to him.
So, this is the case. The pre-legal notice was sent. Last pre-legal notice was sent on 2/13/23. So it was after that 2/13/23 date that he worked with us to extend the fence out. So now here we are the next summer over in 24.
And you have a different issue, right? Back
It's the same violation. It's the same type of violation. And
but
this CC&R does address boats, motorhomes, trailers, it does address motorhomes.
Well, if it's the same violation, then why pre-legal? Why not just move forward?
You all have that right to push it forward if that's your recommendation.
So it goes back to February 23.
Was our last pre-legal notice.
Well, it's quite an interval of time then. That's another way of looking at this.
And that's sometimes how we've looked at it in the past, to reissue that pre-legal notice.
I would reissue the pre-legal.
Okay.
Just follow the steps. Issue the pre-legal. He's got no complaint after that.
It's following procedures.
It also, and if he complies, it also saves our department some money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can see the reluctance in complying because of looking at the property and everything. It's just a pain to remove those three back and forth, and that's why he doesn't want to do it.
Right.
I got that. I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
But you need to live. You know,
right.
You chose to live here. These are the rules.
So if there's no other questions, do we have a motion to approve the pre-legal?
I motion.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the pre-legal. Seconded.
Would you cite the address, please?
And the address of the property is 3003 Wilkinson Road, Deer Trail Estates. Any other comments or questions? Then we'll move forward and take a vote. Those in favor of approving the pre-legal as requested on 3003 Wilkinson Road, Deer Trail Estate, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Heard no objection, so the motion passes. Your pre-legal request is approved. Next item number 5, staff update. Jim?
Okay, so we kind of touched on CCR 21100124 31 Milligan Way, Deer Creek Estates. Make note, the last one is Deer Trail Estates. This is Deer Creek Estates. These are one of those scenarios where you have a CCNR on one side of the street and the other side of the street is a different CCNR.
Oh my gosh.
Fortunately, in this case, the CCNRs when it comes to recreational items are nearly identical verbiage. Okay, so again, that's kind of why I want to go hand in hand with this stuff on these properties. So, vehicle restrictions pre-legal has been served twice. We did it twice on this property too. Once in 213-23 and once on 5-4-24. The boats are still not being put away. Staff has requested a legal letter from council requesting abatement on all trailered items as required by CCNR.
How many boats are we talking?
You have one on the side yard that's actually on Wilkinson and one in the driveway that's on Melodon. And then I believe they're in some kind of landscape industry, so they also have a box dump trailer that's sometimes also parked on one of the street frontages. And if they can't get in and out of the driveway, then the boat's also on one of the street frontages. So they have adequate space to provide themselves with a proper fence line and give storage. And we really are trying to move them in that direction. We have never once in all of our casework had them respond to this. They have, at times, put things away or cleaned up for a period of time, but it always returns. So,
Jim, I just have a procedural question, really. Mm-hmm. I notice here this is a no-action item.
Correct.
But you're sending it to legal. Don't we typically approve what goes to legal? We're doing pre-legal approvals. Wouldn't we do a legal approval?
We never had a legal approval. Pre-legal, pretty much in itself, allows us to go to pre-legal and then legal if we don't get any action after that. If we have to go further than legal, then it's this committee's job to forward it to the board for additional action outside of legal. So our stopping point here is if no action happens after legal.
I would request that you reconsider that in the future, for future actions.
I don't think it would be, it just adds a little more time, but it's monthly, a couple weeks. But if that's felt to be a little bit more of a secure way of doing things.
Well, I think it's for your staff's protection.
I agree.
Yeah, I want to see two steps.
Yeah, just, if you get our approval on pre-legal, then it makes sense to do it for legal, too. Unless the language in the pre-legal approval explicitly allows you to move ahead. Maybe that's the language you do, so you don't have to do it.
And I think in that case that not only would we... I don't have a problem with taking that step. I think that in time that we need to make sure that that's put down in the CCNR handbook guidelines, the policy also. Because right now the policy allows us to get pre-legal approval and then go to legal.
Well, and then maybe it's just simple as changing your language
in
the action item for the committee.
Yes.
And then that simplifies it in that we've given you permission not only to issue a pre-legal notice, but to proceed to legal notice if this resident is not compliant.
Okay.
And that maybe that's the easy way to do it.
They're much more consistent with each other, in my view. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a letter from us
regarding
legal, and it's a letter from council regarding legal. So, but I do understand the protection part of it, because protection is what we need in our department. So I agree. So basically, if I understand this right, we could even write this up saying we are requesting pre-legal if no further action is taken after pre-legal. We are requesting to move to legal as well. And we can sum it up in that one request.
Yep.
Is that what you're asking for?
Yep.
I think that's the cleanest way to do it.
Okay.
But as far as these two items are concerned, A and B under 5, we're not taking any action?
You can't.
This is already listed as a non-action item. So
okay.
Because it's agendized that way, we would not be able to roll it into an action item.
Okay.
But
fair enough. But moving forward, you'll get this done in a pre-legal state, so you don't have to come back and ask for another approval.
Okay.
Is it what?
I hear that, and I actually think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Too clean.
So for 2614 Julie Court, are we on that one, or are we?
Yeah, I'm just quickly taking some notes.
Okay, sorry. But it sounds like a boat's been out. You went by the other day and it was in use, or
yeah,
who knows what.
And in any case, when we go and we're bringing something to committee that requires these kind of actions, we always do an inspection the day of the committee meeting. Okay, so we did look at Wilkinson, Melodon, and we did look at Julie Court.
And they're still non-compliant.
Julie Court, with the last two or three inspections, the boat has not been present. They were served legal notice, if I'm not mistaken. So vehicle homeowner had not complied after pre-legal staff has turned the case over to legal notice. Current inspection showed no boat on Julie Court. Staff will continue to monitor before clearing the case.
So how do you close the case on something like this?
We continue to monitor. Now this particular CCNR Creekside Estates Unit 5, their staging period is a unique allowance. It's 2 weeks allowance per a 6 month period of staging. So this boat was already out 4 or 5 weeks of this season. So they've already exceeded that 2 weeks of staging period. And the way it's written is to allow you to pull your boat out of storage, park it in your driveway or even on the street frontage if there's room, load up, and you're out. It should give you a day before your trip, it should give you a day after your trip, and if you have that many trips, that's two, or that gives you 7 trips throughout the season, right? And it's 14 days allowance. So, again, we're pretty lenient when it comes to staging periods, but when this case came about via complaint, and it was generating other trailer issues in that cul-de-sac, we acted.
So back to my original question, how do you close out the case? How do you inform the homeowner that, in fact, you're compliant and our case is closed?
We close the case after we've gone through it a number of times and checked. We switch it to continue to monitor once we find that it's been cleared. And then we continue to check to see if it comes back. A case never really closes, because if the violation returns the next year, we move it from a closed case to reopen at the status that it was at. If someone requests, gives us a call and says, has my case been cleared? We can say yes, but if the violation returns, we start back where it left off. So
technically you're saying the statute is told from the time that you feel the violation was cured and then it resurfaced again. And it resumes where you left off?
It resumes where we left off, because if it's the same homeowner and the same violation, legal will tell you. You don't restart it.
So
years back, we agreed, maybe in the court, we agreed, we're not going to restart cases every season. If it's the same homeowner and they know the rules now, why start it over and spend the whole season trying to evade it?
I guess my question is, do they know that?
Only if
they
request
that.
Only if they request it. We do not call them up and let them know that their case has been cleared. Because our concern is that they'll bring it right back out.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they have every right to ask us, and we can let them know. And I've had people call me and say, can you put that in writing? And I put it in writing and said, if it comes back, we will return to left off. So, on request, we'll tell them what the state is.
I'm just thinking in the judicial system, you know, there is closure, that case has been settled, that ticket has been paid for, or something like that. You're saying it's not really quite the same.
Do you get a notification when your ticket's been paid for?
Actually, you do. Yeah.
Do you?
It says dismissed.
It's been a long time since
I've been wrong with me too. I'm assuming a canceled check or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, on that sort of violation, there's a clear-cut end-start resolution, disposition of the case. Here, the disposition really is nebulous.
that's my issue, I guess. You know? And maybe that's the way it has to be.
Define nebulous.
In a way, you keep monitoring. Well, you said it accurately that it never goes away. It's always there. If it resurfaces, then it takes off where you left off. So there's no time period within which you consider, well, it's been 10 years, haven't had this issue. It could pick up after that period and restart.
This might also help answer your question. So when a case is cleared, it drops off of our CCNR report. Our CCNR report is always generated monthly. And any resident that wants to check up on their case can look at these publicly posted agendas and see if their case is still on it.
So there's closure in that way. We're no longer addressing that property, that issue, if it's been cleared and it just ends. But it doesn't really end. Okay.
Yeah, but it doesn't really end. Yeah. It comes back.
It stays on.
I mean, keep in mind, we're an enforcement office, so it's one of those scenarios where how many times do we have to tell you if you've known this? It's your responsibility to be diligent to know your CCNRs. And if you are in violation and know our process, you can look at what's going on with your case every single posting. It's all public. So with that knowledge, you can all you have to do is a couple clicks away to see if your case is clear or not. You know what I'm saying?
You just have to be savvy enough to know where to go look for that information. Which isn't very publicly provided. I mean, it's in a agenda. Does our website say, hey, if you want to check on the status of your case, go look at the agendas of the CCNR committee? Probably not. So
no, but there is a lot of people that sign up for those agendas to be sent directly.
Sure, yeah. No, but I mean, most people wouldn't know to look there. You know, they just wouldn't. I wouldn't. If I had something, I mean, I wouldn't know it.
And so, you know.
Well, I mean, but if Jim told me, then I go, oh, okay, I can go check on it.
Yeah.
Or if the website said, oh, if you want to check on the status of your violation, go here. Then
it's a unique item because we'll get more inquiry from the ARC side. My fence is
sure.
You need to come and inspect it. Or is everything good? Are we cool?
Yeah.
They're great communication on the ARC side.
You want to get a project.
They want something, and they need something, and we're there to help them. Same side, we're here to help them on the CCNRs as well. Yeah. And I would think that through courtesy notice and initial notice, that's your area to call and say, I need some help.
Okay.
I would say that it would not be a bad idea for when we do some of our newsletters, because we do our monthly newsletters. I missed this last
or
one.
Or even on the courtesy notice you sent out?
That maybe I revised the letter.
Yeah. I mean, it's all just about communication, and we have all the stuff available, but you don't know how to access it. And so if you're told, oh, it exists, well, that's a big step.
And what you said is dropped from the CCNR committee if it's been rectified.
It's dropped from the entire report, because as soon as you clear a case in our system, it does disappear from the screen.
Maybe
the only
way simpler,
to bring
yeah.
it back is to type in the address and unlock and reopen the case.
But in simpler language, maybe that's something to put out there, is that we don't necessarily inform you that it's, you know, but that there is a way for you to double check it yourself or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's transparency in government.
Transparency in government is a good way to put it.
Well, and I think that the life cycle of this violation, if it's portrayed in such a way that people can understand and say, well, I need to do this before it gets to this point, in advance, then they have some notice of taking corrective action and not wait for you to, you know, contact them. So they'll be proactive.
Our letters do give timelines.
Okay.
They do say, okay, this is your timeline on this notice. If not, we go to this. And
to the
if
next
not,
step.
We go to that.
Okay.
So they do let them all know, and then they also advise them to please come down to the CCNR committee and discuss
right.
it. So we give them that as well.
All right.
And we tell them, in that letter, it tells them what the date and time of that next meeting is going to be. So I guess we have some in there, but I hear the call for a little more.
I don't want us to be like the IRS. You know, if you've been audited, then you're likely to be audited many times. You know, you have a perception. Yeah. So I think, yes, while we have to be the enforcer, we acknowledge when people have done it, and somehow, good job. And that's the end of the case, or at least the degree that we can close it out. So somehow it's a more positive spin on this.
Okay.
Thank you. That's enough discussion. Okay.
Fair enough. Any other comments? If not, Jim, we can move on to the next item. Item number 6, items for future CCNR committee agendas.
So we already have one, and that's to try and get an update from the county regarding
Rural Park Corps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name any names or address.
Well, we all know what you're talking about.
Yes, we all know what we're discussing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'll see what I can
maybe
do to
the
get
license
there.
It is a junkyard.
Yeah. I'll see what I can get. Hopefully I can get some more, some updated information without having to go through public records requests.
Mm-hmm. County code can go.
I've got that on the
matrix. They can come in and tow everything out. It's just a matter of money.
Keep it on them instead of us.
As far as items for CCNR committee future agenda, as far as what we were just discussing, is there anything to bring back regarding transparency of casework? Do we just edit the letter?
Other than editing the letter where you say at pre-legal, you get the other authority if it's not done type
well,
thing.
Well, I would be interested in, I've never actually seen these various letters. I don't know if you could.
You want, like, an example of these letters?
Yeah, the boilerplate.
Yeah,
you know, blank version.
I'd like to do that. Okay.
That would be nice if you could.
I earlier. I don't know about
apparently, yeah. Nobody.
Well, I guess that's a good thing that I've never gotten one.
That's right.
But if you create a...
I may be able to...
To put it, you're going to have to put in a board report, probably. But
well, I've got to... unfortunately, because this all works off of GIS, I can't really use a fictitious...
Well, you
really?
Could use your own address then.
that's the only thing I was thinking.
Could you use this address here?
Yeah.
It's not a form.
Yeah, if you could use our, probably CSD address.
Actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah. But if you could just provide those to us, I'm not asking to edit them or anything, or if you're planning to edit them.
You can even redact and. Old one or cross it out.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting just to see what we sent out because I haven't really seen those.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So we'll be a little more knowledgeable.
Yeah.
But what is it that we are passing?
Well,
what are we moving to do?
I think
here?
We've seen probably most of them in the past.
I know a lot of you have seen the ARC ones.
Yeah.
And your advisory letter, too. Or your preliminary. What do you call your...
We have courtesy.
There you go.
Courtesy, initial, final, pre-legal.
Okay, so the whole packet.
I'll be presenting you with 4 different letters and how those are represented.
And after legal, it's... I mean, after pre-legal, it's legal.
Then it rolls over to legal, and now we just use their paperwork entering it into the case.
Okay.
And update the case.
Okay. All right.
Cool, thank you.
So provide boilerplate violation notices.
A sample letter.
And I think it's always a good thing to review those things. Are they saying what we want them to say? Does it reflect the tone we want to represent our district? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and time has changed. So
yeah, absolutely.
I've had to edit those things as opposed to, because our department has moved, where we've been educating the public to communicate with us via email. And everybody that I talk to, I say, look, because our front office sometimes gets busy, email us. We'll get those emails before sometimes we'll even get your calls. And we are always on those emails, and we're always quick to respond. If it's a violation notice, we go out and we inspect, or a complaint, we go out and we inspect it before we come back to the complainant or before we go and write a notice. So there's a lot of steps that we take before we get to those notices.
Okay.
So I have two items, update on Merle Park and provide sample boilerplate violation notices.
Yeah.
Anything else that we want to see come to the next meeting? I want to see Terry Eastwood come to the next meeting.
Looks like I'm open.
All right. Next item on the agenda, items to take to the board of directors. Anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, matters to and from committee members and staff? Committee members?
Yes. I am curious, as board members, we have some board members here. Sid, you've been here since this office, these staff members have been here, myself and Tim. Bob, you've been here since I've been on board and running the department. Tim, you came in through RCC and our committee.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions that I have is I know that, and this has always been a case, we have a lot of people out there we communicate with. There are some people that we only communicate with once because maybe the case does not apply to us. The issue does not apply to us. Domestic disputes is one of those where they'll come to us and try to get us into their domestic dispute. And we advise them, unfortunately, this is a domestic dispute and we cannot get involved. This is going to be between you and your neighbor. And sometimes they'll come after us month after month after month. And maybe we'll talk to them again, maybe we won't, because there is that protection side of how far do you get involved before you are involved. So what I'm getting to on this is, in this line of work, in my opinion, no matter how good you are at the job, you're always going to have complaints from the public. Is that agreed?
Okay.
So as board members, how many complaints do you get about this department? Because if a complaint doesn't come to us, then it comes to our GMs. And I've seen not only our current GM, but past GMs end up getting sucked into this also. And oftentimes our GM will come to me and say, what do you got on this case? Here you go. We've been working. Every single time I've been able to provide that. But my question is, how do complaints come to you all, and how do you receive them? What's your thought process when this happens?
Usually it's involving the property, so it's a violation of something in the property or the CCNR, and I respond, thank you for your information, and I forward it to the GM. You know, I just acknowledge I've read it. I'm not responding. I'm not offering an opinion, but I want to let them know I have looked at it and I've read it.
And sometimes
it was appropriate. I might ask you to clarify, but it kind of goes back to the GM, in my view.
Sometimes I've been copied along with you, board members, about something that's going on. And then you guys have come to me and you're working on this. Yeah, we are.
It's not about you. It's usually in a letter form, and they're sending their letter of dispute. You know, that's what they send me. Yeah.
I don't think I've received one complaint with regards to CCNR issues.
Because we've actually noticed a little more defense on stuff like Nextdoor, where we're being supported a little bit more. And like I said, even if we're doing the best job, we have a 5-person crew and we're still doing an excellent job, I think you're still going to receive complaints. It's an enforcement office. It's kind of the nature of the beast.
And if you don't get complaints, you're not doing a great job.
I would hope that's not true. But
okay.
Yeah, there are people that don't like our response, and that's part of this job.
And if I did respond, it's about maintaining the property values of our community. It's an asset to have somebody looking at these things.
And when you brought me, when I was brought on board here, we were coming out of and Cameron Park was really a mess because people couldn't afford to keep their stuff in storage if they didn't have a job going. So there was that allowance for people to have stuff on the streets. It took us 2.5-3 years to clean up the streets. And I think it does look better now, but I just want to assure the committee and the board that we are a limited staff. We do work off of a limited budget. I think we do a very good job of that. But I do want to kind of throw out there that please understand that when these things come in, you kind of need to take them with a grain of salt. And feel free to talk to us or the GM. But at the same time, taking them with a grain of salt would allow you to just say, hey, is this being managed or not? 9 times out of 10, I want to be able to come to you and provide proof that it's being managed. So I just thought I'd bring that up because every time we have committee changeouts or board changeouts, there's a different perspective on things that how they're supposed to be managed. And quite honestly, this is an animal that we always are working on improving as time goes on, but still there are people out there that are not satisfied. And I think it's always going to be that way.
So. Keep up the good work, Ken.
I'm just trying to make sure that the GM or other staff members are not being beat up in a manner that's because of disregard. You know, I want to make sure that everybody understands that if we have something that we need to do, let us know that we need to do it.
The one complaint I guess I do hear is, well, you enforce my house, but what about the one down the street? Or across the street, or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
So when we get called out for a complaint, we do not just address that one complaint. If we're called out for a boat or a trailer or something like that, that's visible. We search that whole street for similar violations just so people can't say you're singling me out. No, we're not. We have 3 other on your street that we're working right now.
So it's good for us to hear the answers that we can basically say the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's helpful.
Does that answer your question? What Sid and Tim?
Yeah, because I want feedback, whether it be negative or positive. We do keep phone logs on every call that we do, and we do keep record of every casework that we do, as well as the complaints. The complaints are dropped into that case also. So.
Well, committee members, do you have anything to ask the staff? Are there any other issues, Jim?
No. Thank you very much.
I guess there's one other issue that's come up a couple of times. Is a phone call goes to our front office, our receptionist, and how does that get communicated to you? And that I've had that come back that nothing ever came back, and so I think somehow there was a breakdown, and I don't know that since Alan's been GM, but I know historically that's come up several times.
So we do get a lot of calls that are for other departments. So we'll get calls that are sent to our desk that are maybe for parks or for fire or for county, because maybe our front desk person who's active on the phones at that time does not necessarily know where to send it. So they automatically send it to us. And I'll open it up or I'll review the phone call. All this is for our parks department. And I'll take down all the info and I'll send it via text or email to our parks department. He'll respond back, thank you, I'll get in touch with him. Fire department, I'll forward it off to fire. I don't always get a response on the fire ones that I forward. County ones, same thing. However, when it comes to county, we have to advise them, per the county, even us, if we have a complaint, we have to go into their data system and do the report form, the complaint form. Now, if you're the complainant, you can only put your name. If I'm the complainant, I have to put County Park CSD CCNR office. I cannot make a complaint for somebody else. If I am doing it on behalf of somebody else at their request, I'm still putting down the name.
But the question is really about the communication between a receptionist and your office.
Yeah, it does need some work. It does need some education in order to know where calls go.
So sometimes
I think that's where
a lot
of the complaints come from because
we are dealing.
They just think it goes to CCNR, and we're not responding to that because you forwarded it to another department.
Okay.
That's why you're not getting the response.
It has,
So I'm a little curious, is there a lot of turnover between the staff taking these calls and however way they're handling it?
That's not really, I don't think that's a question for me. But, you know, since I've been here, our reception, we've changed out 5 receptions.
I see.
And the first 2 that I had when here were very, very knowledgeable of where calls go. And they were actually were even able to screen some of those calls in order to find out what the issue is and help guide them as to, oh, this is an ARC item. Here's what you do. Or this is a CCNR item. Here's what you do. Now, I don't necessarily require that or request it from our current front desk because that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And if our front desk is busy, they don't have the time to sit there and screen if it's ARC or CCNR or figure it out. So I do pay some leniency on it. And on our phone log, we do note this was an EDC call. This was a parks call. This was a fire call. So we do note that and make sure that maybe they didn't get that message. We have it in our phone log. Okay, here it is. Here it is again.
So who's doing the filtering then once the call comes in? I mean, they take the message, they identify, you know, these different channels. Then who then is going to call?
The front desk does not take the message.
They
just forwards the call.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it comes from experience also. The longer you're here, the more you get to know what call belongs where. But we do kind of sometimes work as a switchboard and get those issues out.
So the issue complaint was never, the calls never returned to you. Do you make an effort to say this call was not appropriate for our department, I referred it to whoever?
Sometimes we do.
Okay.
Yes.
So that may be that's the issue, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other time, if we've got all the proper information that came in over the voicemail, then we just go ahead and forward it. If it's someone that calls in and we return their call, and then we hear from them what they need, then we advise them and give them the proper phone numbers and contacts.
It's customer service. It really is important, but I know you're missing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think that's where a lot of the complaints are coming from. Yeah. It may not be associated with our department, and there could be a little bit of a hole there. But, you know, we're 1 1/3 persons. We do the best we can.
Sure.
On that log of stuff that comes in.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, next meeting.
Is that a holiday or something?
Yeah.
You just got here. You already have. All
must
right.
Be a state employee.
Let's see. Our next meeting, if I'm not mistaken, will be Monday, September
2nd.
And I will
not.
Or does that fall on Labor
Day weekend?
That's Labor Day. Yeah. It does? Okay, yeah. That's okay. I won't be here.
So our next meeting will then
be. I am? Okay. I'll be on vacation. Yeah.
The 9th? Okay. Yeah, because I was.
Okay.
So it'd be the 9th.
Yeah, if you have Monday the 2nd off, that's actually.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for catching that.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Then we.
Thank you, Terry.
See, I'm good for something.
The meeting will be the 9th?
The meeting should be on the 9th, okay. Yeah, because I'm supposed to be on the campsite myself.
Okay.
I was going to be up at Sid's place on the Eagle Lake during the Fallen Leaf, is that it?
Yes.
Oh, I love
have
Fallen
address,
Leaf.
Please?
Well, with that issue getting cleared up, now I'm going to entertain a motion for adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Well,
I second.
You got a motion for adjournment? Meeting is adjourned.
First and the second, that's
yeah.
All that's needed.
That's well, unless you want to take a vote, those in favor of adjournment, say aye. Those opposed can stay back. Meeting is adjourned, and it's 6:31.
Thank you. Yeah.
Nice.
I wish you.